Welcome, everyone, to episode 15 of The Bonbon Show. Today is October 19th, 2025. And on our show today, we're going to take a break and jump on a jet out of here. Just kidding. We're going to chat about the Japan Exchange and Teaching Program, also known as the JET Program, for any of our curious and aspiring listeners who may be thinking of wanting to work and live in Japan in their near or distant future.
Hello, Aaron. Hello, listeners. This is Kirk. Welcome to today's episode of The Bonbon Show. As former Jets, we are excited to bring you the first of multiple episodes talking about the Japan Exchange and the Teaching Program. So starting in this episode, we wanted to do an overview of what the JET Program is and talk about our experiences as former Jets. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Let's go!
Let's go, let's go. So first, let's spend some time talking about what is the JET Program. Let's also talk about later our experience being former Jets. And yeah, we will have future JET-themed episodes talking about the application process, interview, prepping for coming to Japan, etc. And of course, if you have any questions about JET that you guys want to ask us, remember that we have our voicemail.bonbonshow.com that you can send us audio messages, or if emails are more your speed, you can send us a message at hello@bonbonshow.com, and who knows, maybe your voice or your message will be featured on future episodes.
Ooh.
Yes. All right. So let's get in. What is the JET Program? All right. So the simple from the website explanation is the Japan Exchange and Teaching Program is aimed at promoting grassroots international exchange between Japan and other nations. Basically, I feel from my experience and what that means is you come to Japan, you are usually placed at like the local level within communities, big and small. I feel like usually on the JET program, you have a higher chance to be placed in a very rural area. That's just my experience, because even though Japan is famous for big cities, there's still more rural communities than urban ones. And so I like to focus on the exchange bit of the Japan Exchange and Teaching Program. Yes, you're coming to Japan to teach, but what separates the JET program from teaching programs is that you are, you know, expected to kind of teach or expose the communities to your country, your culture, your food, your language, like everything about your culture, your country, and also learn from Japan, hence the exchange. So I'm sharing my culture and stuff from my country, for example, Jamaica, in my community, and they're also teaching me what's unique and special about their communities, Japan as a whole. And it's like a very holistic exchange and experience where both of us, both the JET program participants and the communities, can benefit from this type of relationship. So did I do the overview of the JET program well, Aaron? Do you want to add anything to it?
Yeah, I think you nailed it right on the mark with the exchange description. I think that's probably like the key differentiator between the JET program and say like a private teaching or an Eikawa job that you can get in Japan. Cause definitely I've gotten this question posed to me multiple times, either at some career fairs that I've been at while promoting the JET program at universities in my area, or I've promoted JET program at our local anime convention. And that's usually a very typical question that we get is, I'll kind of relate this back to the assistant language teacher program, the ALT, or the role, the ALT role, mainly because that's generally like 90% of participants are looking at that particular role as opposed to the other roles, which we'll get to in just a few minutes. But I think when someone's asking me, hey, like I'm looking at the JET program, what's the main difference between JET and say, ABC private program that has an ALT position as well? And if you compare the job descriptions, side by side at one another, they're going to be generally the same as a, there's going to be a few nuanced items that will be a little bit different depending on, what's important at that particular company. But when you look at it, you're like, okay, yeah, the job's the same. Your day-to-day is generally the same. So what's different about being a JET program participant as opposed to being a private employee at a different company? And I think it's exactly what you said. It's that exchange piece that as a JET participant, you get involved in the local government, whether that's like your board of education, your town hall, your city hall, whatever that might be. You're given some different opportunities. I wouldn't say like you're just handed these opportunities because you still have to work at them. You still have to put yourself out there. There's still a lot of work that you need to do to get those experiences under your belt. But because you are in a situation that does kind of nudge you there almost by the hand in a way, that you are able to exchange not only to learn about Japan and its culture and its language and its values and its people, but there's already the expectation there as the years have gone by that they want you to learn from them, but they also want to learn from you, and not just that the English language piece, but also the cultural piece of where you're from. So as Kirk mentioned, Jamaica, and I'm from Canada, so wherever that participant gets placed, they want to learn from you and have that dynamic exchange of two cultures coming together to learn more about each other and share and grow and learn. And so I find that exchange piece that Kirk is mentioning is just naturally integrated into the JET program as opposed to the private companies, where if you did want some of that exchange pieces on your own, if you work for those private companies, you're likely going to have to put in a lot more work and find places that are willing to help you do those sorts of things, whether that's through homestays or, working or volunteering at other places in your community. So while it is possible, I think the JET program just makes that exchange aspect, because it's part of it, just a little bit more easier for you to interact with. So yeah, I totally agree. It's really, there's the job, but then the exchange piece is probably just as, or if not more fulfilling, from a personal
Exactly.
level, as being a
Yeah.
JET participant.
Yep. So yeah, it's all about, how do I say, working with the community, not just teaching English in the school. And it shows in how the JET program is managed or organized, in a sense where you have multiple government ministries and agencies kind of organizing the JET program. So we have like the Ministry of Internal Affairs and Communications, which kind of decides the requirements for JETs, like the overview of the type of people and qualifications that they're looking for. Then you have the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, which of course most JETs or all JETs apply through the different Japanese embassies in different countries, and they would usually have like a JET desk, and you would apply and go through the process and interviews and stuff at the different embassies in your area, your city, your state, your country, depending on the diplomatic relations between Japan and your country. Then you have the Ministry of Education, Culture, Sports, Science and Technology, mainly the education bit, where they're responsible for the schools in Japan. So they of course would have to be involved if they're getting people to go into the schools that they're responsible for. And then I feel like the day-to-day management of the program is CLAIR, which I think stands for the Council of Local Authorities for International Relations. That's long. So these four organizations combined will connect with whether it's the prefecture that you're going, or the town, or the city, these different boards of education. And I've kind of had a unique situation on JET, so I kind of have an idea, at least from the Board of Education bit, what the process is like. Usually the Board of Education has an idea of the type of jet that they want. This can be anything from their age, their gender, their country. They can like say, I want a sports loving female jet from Canada, for example, and to the best of their ability, Claire and then the other places would try to find that type of individual from the different, I guess, the thousands or maybe tens of thousands of applications that come in and try to fit their requirement. Maybe they've had a jet from Canada last time, but they want a jet from another country. Those types of things happen in the background. But the main thing is that it's managed by these organizations, which then connect you to the local governments and cities and prefectures that you are placed in. And yeah, tell us about the different positions, because as you were saying, you have the ALT position. That's most of the applications. We were both ALTs as well. Mm-hmm. And but there are other positions available under the JET program. Let me share with us an overview of these positions, Aaron-san.
Let's do it. Yeah, so as we mentioned, assistant language teacher, I think I had said about 90% of applicants or people that do get hired under the JET program are ALTs. And so this is your individual that's going into the classrooms, whether that's elementary schools, junior high schools, high schools. They're usually teaching with a Japanese teacher of English, assisting in those lessons, preparing lessons, running other activities and joining in extracurricular activities with the students at school. So that could be like, you know, sports clubs or English clubs or band or anything that you might want to get engaged in. So you spend all of your time working at the schools that way. So that's like from the job perspective. We'll kind of go into more of the details on what we experienced from that role, because Kirk and I were both ALTs while on the JET program. So we can give you, as we go into our personal experience, we'll let you know, like, there's different flavors of the ALT role. It's not just one ALT role rules them all. It's there's probably every ALT role in the country is different from one another. So there's no, there's no universal.
Plus 5 points for that Lord of the Rings reference.
Thought you would appreciate that.
Yes. Yeah.
The other role that probably is around 10% or just a little bit less would be the coordinator for international relations, or as some people might just say, CIR. These ones, your proficiency in Japanese needs to be, I would say, at least N3, probably bordering N2. That usually will be judged when you have an interview. They'll definitely do a lot of Japanese type questions and reading and whatnot.
And if I may interject here, for those who are not familiar with what N3 or N2 means, that's the Japanese language proficiency test, which is kind of like a very standardized test. So even if you're studying Japanese in university or high school or privately, it's a good idea to try to get the JLPT certification, because that's usually what the JET program uses to qualify you for the CIR position. Anyway, continue.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. So the role itself, as it kind of says, coordinator of international relations, it's kind of a big umbrella, but you can do things like translation or interpretation work. You might do, you know, some paperwork in terms of editing or producing pamphlets in either English or Japanese. Depending on where you're placed, you might be engaged with like homestay programs or exchange programs, whether your town or city sends exchange students or programs overseas to, say, like a sister city or a town, or you're receiving students. So you might be engaged with setting up activities and finding homestay placements and that sort of thing during that as part of your role. And you actually might go into schools as well and teach, or you might even teach people at your Board of Education or your city hall or what or not that might be. So it's kind of a very mixed bag depending on where you get placed. I did know a CIR that lives in my city, and we've engaged with as we've prepared JET participants. I think one of the things he said he used to do was he would go into the preschools, actually. So that's not something that an ALT would go into, but a CIR, or at least where he was, he would go into preschools and kindergartens and interact with the little ones there. So a very unique experience amongst all of the other things that he did at his city hall. So I would say it's a very wide range of skills and jobs that you could potentially do. But it could be a little bit more, say, like, I guess, more government based, like you could be in an office and sitting at a desk for, you know, a week or two at a time. And then you might be, you know, out on the field teaching or, you know, chaperoning students that came from a host country or whatever that might be. So,
yeah,
very, very, very cool job. And I think something that if you're looking to get into the government eventually or like be a public service in your future, this type of role could be a very good like a very good experience building role for you if you're looking to go back home to your home country and, you know, work in the government or something like that in the future.
Yeah. And if I may also add, for the CIRs, I find that there are a wider variety of countries that CIRs come from. They may not necessarily be an English speaking country. I've met CIRs from Poland, from France, from Brazil. I feel like the CIR roles is very varied, and also some of the CIRs, if your country or your city has like a sister relationship with a city in Japan, I find that the CIRs would usually be from that sister city, or at least one of them, to kind of coordinate those international relations between the city that you're in as a CIR and your own country's sister city type of situation. So there's a lot of work that also goes into that in the background that CIRs often do.
Yeah, I know they look for, like, having Japanese proficiency is really important for this particular role. So I know some questions I get is, oh, could I start as an ALT and then move to a CIR while you're in Japan on the JET program? And it is possible. Like, it is possible to move while you're on the program, even as an ALT, from one position to an, like, from one location to another. There's a whole application piece and something to discuss, you know, down the road, but something that you could look at if your Japanese isn't right where it needs to be in your first couple of years, but you work really hard at it and a position comes open as a CIR, you could definitely apply if that's something that you'd like to do in your future, depending on, you know, what happens.
Yeah. And what's the other often forgotten role that is under JET?
the unicorn role of the JET program is called the Sports Exchange Advisor, so an SEA. I've never met anyone, and we were looking at the numbers before recording, and there's like very few of these. I think in 2025, there was, what, five of these individuals in Japan under the JET program? So essentially there are sports professionals, and I'm just looking at the webpage. They're sports professionals whose role is to assist with sports training and the planning of sports related projects while promoting internationalization through our language of sport. So these are people that are professionals in their field, whether that's, you know, it could be, you know, basketball or track and field or
speaking of track and field. And the SEA position, I'm very proud to say that Jamaica actually sent their first sports exchange advisor this past year, who is actually a former Olympian, a former track and field Olympian.
That's so awesome.
Yeah, I know, I think she is in Tottori, because we have a very good relationship with Tottori Prefecture and Jamaica. And I'll probably get some more information and add to the show notes, but that was what I wanted to plug here. So yeah, the Sports Exchange Advisors.
Yeah, that sounds like a really cool role. Definitely one that's niche in a way that you have to find yourself in a position to be like a master of a certain sport to a degree, and then find a positioning within Japan that has like a need for that type of skill set that you have. So that's really cool that someone from Jamaica was able to, and with an Olympic caliber athlete.
Exactly.
Was able to, yeah. So yeah, I guess that's the type of people that they're going for. No pressure.
Yep. It's too late for us, bro. We don't think we'll be able to be sports exchange advisors, but luckily we had the ALT experience in Japan.
Yes. Thank goodness.
Yeah. But let's move on to our experience as former Jets. Like, yeah, we know what the Jet program wants, what the process is, what are the different positions, how it's managed, etc. But again, one of the unique things that I heard a lot and you'll hear a lot within the Jet circles is every situation is different. So even though we are both ALTs, we could be literally in the same prefectures, but we have big enough experiences, differences in our experiences that makes it quite unique how we function and how we live. It could be our apartments, it could be the number of schools we have, it could be what is expected of us in the classroom or at the schools. You know, maybe you're a prefecture based JET person, but I'm a board of education based, as in like a local government based JET person. So again, every situation is different. So tell us about your time, like interesting information that would be helpful to like aspiring JETs, I guess. Tell us about your experience in Hokkaido. And afterwards, I'll talk about my experience in Shimane. So take it away, Aaron.
Yeah, so as some of you might know, I'm from Canada and specifically Alberta, the province of Alberta. And luckily, we have a beautiful sister relationship with the Hokkaido Prefecture. The Alberta province does. So when I was applying for JET program, I had put down Hokkaido as my number one placement option. And being an Albertan with the sister relationship to Hokkaido, I think that was a pretty easy sell as to where I should be going. So, and as Kirk had mentioned or alluded to a little bit earlier in the podcast, generally, and that's not the golden rule or the rule that, you know, always applies, but the larger percentage of ALTs specifically will go to more rural type placements, and just because there's generally more of them, at least right now. And you know, that's slowly changing. You hear more and more people going to cities more and more. But in my case, I got placed in a small town, about 6,000 or so people, just outside of Sapporo. So I was about 40 minutes outside of Sapporo. So it was like something very similar to what I grew up in as a kid. I grew up in a town that was about the same size, again, about the same distance away from the big city. So it felt very like, I guess, Natsukashi, reminiscent of how I grew up. So it was, for me personally, it was like a perfect placement. I couldn't really have asked for anything better, even though I was willing to go anywhere. But I think at the end of the day, you know, you enjoyed your JET program experience when you leave going, I was put in the best place for me. And that could have been anywhere. I hope I would say that no matter where I got placed, but I'm always just thankful and appreciative of where I got placed and the people I got to meet. So, small town for me.
What was your school setup like in terms of the type of schools you went to?
Yeah, I was at one junior high school Monday through Thursday, and there all day. I generally taught 3 to 6 classes a day. It really depended on scheduling and what was going on at the school at any particular week. As you know, sometimes students are preparing for their exams or sports week or whatever that might be. But generally, like a normal week, I'd probably do closer to like more like 5 to 6 classes a day. So pretty busy. And then on Fridays, I would spend the entire day at the elementary school in my town. So there was just one junior high school and just one elementary school in my town. And then there was also a high school, but I didn't ever go to the high school. And yeah, at the elementary school, I was there all day. I did 6 classes in a row. So that was from, you know, all morning and all afternoon, I was in a class. at every moment besides lunchtime and recess.
So wow, they worked Fridays you in Hokkaido.
Yeah, Fridays by the end of Friday, my voice was gone. I was like dead tired. I would just go home, get some food on my way home, and then just like eat and just chill out, because I was just like, I'm more of an introvert normally, so my energy reserves were completely drained. I think it was elementary school is definitely the most difficult.
For me,
just because compared to the junior high school, at the junior high school, I was always with a Japanese teacher of English, so a JTE. They were always the ones leading the class, and I was just there to help, you know, with any activities and just do what they needed me to do. Whereas at the elementary school, when I entered in a class, the homeroom teacher just either left.
Like escaped into nearby bushes.
Yeah. They're like, oh, I got 45 minutes free time. This is perfect. So that's kind of what happened at the elementary school for me.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that, because that was also my experience. But I heard that apparently it's known at the elementary schools, the difference with junior high school is you have subject teachers. So someone would teach social studies, math, science. So there's like a natural exchange of the teachers as you go through the day. So you get time to rest. But at the elementary school, it's that one homeroom teacher that usually teaches most of the subjects. So they usually don't have a break. So when you come with your LT-ness to teach the guy Kokugo, they're like, oh my Lord, I got a break. Gambatte LT-san.
So I understood that after the first, I guess my first day there, I was like, oh, this is what's happening. Okay, good to know. I got this. And it was funny too, because generally that was my morning, was like the grade fives and sixes. I had enough of that where I was by myself. And then in the afternoon, because they wanted me to work with some of the younger grades as well, like grade ones, twos, threes, and fours. But what they would do is, instead of me going to their classroom, if for like I was going to do the grade twos, they would combine all of their grade two classes together. So I think there was like 60 to 80, say, grade two students, and they would put them in the hall or the gymnasium. And then I would run an English class with like, say, 80 students. So it essentially just turned into English gym class at that point, because like we would do like songs in English and little fun games that like, I was like, I like this game when I was in grade two. So I would introduce them to some fun games that I played when I was a kid. So that's kind of what it turned into, is just English fun gym time. So it was really, really fun. And the teachers there would stick around and they would help the students like organize them into groups and help assist me in that way. So that was really good. But I think even though elementary school was definitely the most work and I was dead tired by the end of the day, after my time on JET, I was like, elementary school was also the most rewarding for me, because I felt like I had, because I put the most amount of work into it, because I had the most control into what I was teaching in the classrooms and running the activities, it felt like I was doing what I could, even though some days I was like, oh, was it enough? Or maybe this lesson didn't work the way I wanted it to or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I was always trying my best. And so at the end, I was like, yeah, I did as best as I could. And I felt that was rewarding. Whereas junior high school was really fun too. The students are older, more mature. You can talk to them differently. They're not just jumping on you or trying to concho, like, you know,
the legendary concho.
Yeah. Stick their, you know what, up your, you know what. I think because I was just always the assistant, and at my school specifically, even though sometimes I was asked to do activities or prepare games and whatnot and get more involved, it felt like that was always put aside, because the curriculum and always getting the students to prepare for the exam was more important. And so it was definitely not as engaging for me, I would say. But there were times, I would say, outside of the classroom when we were preparing for speech season and students that were really engaged in English. And you could tell that, you know, they were going to go to their high school and like English was a priority for them. And being in a small town, like I would say 90% of the kids could care less about English. They had no interest.
Am I going to use English? I'm going to be a farmer or a fisherman or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like that. Yeah, that's exactly the thing, right? And so they're just like, they're just going through the motions. And that's fine. I don't have any ill will against them. I understand where they're coming from. I was like, I grew up in a small town and they're trying to teach us French. And we're like, why are we trying to learn French here? Like what's going on here? So I fully understood, you know, what their motivations were and why English wasn't their thing. And so I just tried to make it fun as much as I could, or just try to be their friend, or just try to encourage them if I could see them struggling and just say, hey, you know, it's okay. Like, just try your best. You know, it's no big deal. Like, I'm not going to get angry at you. I understand you. And so that was kind of my perspective from that.
I see.
Other students, I was, you know, in the hallway, or they wanted to work with me specifically, like, you know, after school was done, and, you know, help them with their pronunciation and those types of things. And that was a really rewarding experience for me. I guess just the one last thing about my time there is I did work at the Board of Education, so at the local level. And as an aside of trying to do the exchange piece that Kirk and I had talked about at the beginning, was that I ran a English conversation class once a week at the town. They call it the Bureau. It's kind of like, it was just like in the middle of the town was like a public center for people to come. And they had
probably had like a library and stuff as well.
Yeah, like a little library and whatnot. And they would have like a farmer's market there too. And so I think it was like Wednesday or Thursday night, I would run a English conversation class for free for anyone in the town that wanted to come. And that's how I got to meet. That wasn't the only way I got to meet people in the town, but that was like probably one of my primary ways of interacting with just local residents and becoming friends with them. And a lot of cool stories coming out of that, that, you know, I don't have time to share here, but conversation for another day. But that was a really good exchange piece for me to learn from them, to give back to my town, for them to learn from me, and just have nice conversations with the local residents. So, that's just a small highlight of my little time in Hokkaido.
Yeah, and I feel as we have more JET program related episodes, we can get into more deeper into stuff that we've experienced or done, or stuff we might not even remember now, but get all natsukashi about when we get a chance to talk about them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Kirk, tell us about your Shimane experience.
Oh, yes. But yeah, I was a JET for 6 years, which is weird because of the pandemic that we no longer speak about. So usually JET is for 5 years maximum, but I got, so I was asked to stay on a little bit longer. Originally I planned to stay just 2 or 3 years, but the world had other ideas. So hence I stayed so long. My placement was also very Inaka, but I was actually on one of the remote islands in Shimane Prefecture, which is already not very populated and not very well known / popular prefecture. So even sometimes I tell people, in Japanese people, that hey, I was in Shimane, they were like, what? Why were you in Shimane?
Where?
Exactly.
What's Shimane?
Exactly. But it's a remote island, but it's the first year was really, really challenging. And I want to get into that in another episode about those first few weeks and months that you're on JET, depending on where you're placed and what the situation is like. There's like a roller coaster of emotions and experiences that might affect people in different ways. For me, being on a remote island was quite challenging initially, but as I spent more time there and got to know people and focused on the exchange part of the JET program, it became a very rewarding experience to the point where that island is now considered my Japan hometown, and I want to visit there as often as I can. So yeah, in terms of school setup, my main school that I'd go to every day was the junior high school. So I was in a town, an island town of about 2,300 people lived on the island, and I taught basically every child 15 years old and under who lived on that island. Of course, these were very tiny schools, so my junior high school never had more than 40 students at any given time. Two elementary schools of about maybe 45, 50 students each, and two kindergartens. One was like the more traditional kindergarten set up where you'd have classes and you'd be indoors and stuff. While another was like a new, not really new, but like a nature type kindergarten where they'd spend most of the time outdoors exploring their natural environment and stuff like that. So yeah, so the junior high school was basically every day. I went to the one of the elementary schools for like the morning sessions twice a week, and two kindergartens I went to one each of them once a month. And for the junior high school, just like you, it was maybe not as many classes because I only had one junior high school one, one junior high school two, one junior high school three class. So there weren't like multiple classes. So my workload at the junior high school wasn't very crazy. I probably had two or three lessons a day, but I spent a lot of time preparing stuff. As I got more experienced and trusted, I got more responsibilities and stuff. For the elementary schools, just like you, I felt very good because I felt like I had more responsibility. I was more in charge of my classes, and I could plan my lessons exactly how I wanted. And I was encouraged to, even by the homeroom teachers, to let them be the assistant if possible. And, you know, they'll help with like discipline and stuff. But after a while, they just disappeared from the classroom when I arrived. I was like, hey, I thought I wasn't supposed to teach classes alone, but it was fun. But the elementary school was the most challenging for me. I don't know. I had very little experience teaching children before coming to Japan. So I was more used to teaching adults. And also I taught IT. So that was kind of motivated people who wanted to learn stuff who would be quiet and sit. And I wasn't used to I'm speaking and then there's two boys somersaulting in the corner or something. I was like, what the hell is going on? So that was stressful in the beginning, but I feel most of my growth on JET was being able to manage the elementary school kids. And like I taught third and fourth grade together and fifth and sixth grade together. So even though it sounds like a lot, that was like, I don't know, five or six kids per grade. So it was like 10 to 12 kids in each class. But it was those small classes allows you to do so many different things, activities, and you know, it was just very rewarding as the years went on, and you kind of knew each of the all of the kids' names and their little quirks, and they shared their interests. And as they trusted you more, they'd come and try to talk to you or teach you bad words in Japanese.
Yep.
That I will not repeat on the podcast. When you know no Japanese, this is a warning for probably future JETs. The elementary school kids will try to teach you words that you should not be saying, and they'll find it hilarious. No matter where in Japan, I don't care. Many of my friends have told me about this experience. So yeah. The kindergartens were fun as well. I also could manage my classes, but I usually did like, as you said, like singing games or different type of activities. They wanted to put a special emphasis on the kids moving around, moving their bodies, doing different actions and stuff. So you like head, shoulders, knees and toes. And then I'd be teaching them colors. I'd do different activities. So I had a huge room and an army of elementary school teachers to keep everybody in line. And I literally would teach all grades or all levels, I guess, from 4, 5, and 6 year olds at the kindergarten. And as the years went on, I kind of felt like going to the kindergarten was became one of the most rewarding, fun experiences that I had, because at that point, you know, the kids all knew me, and it was just like you enter the door and you feel like a rock star because, like, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 4, 5, and 6 year olds, we were like erupting. Oh my God, he's here. Yeah. Let's go.
That feeling is so cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, as I, at the junior high school level, as I got more experienced and was more trusted by the vice principals and senior teachers and stuff, I also got the opportunity to help coach volleyball. First, I just kind of participated, but then as the years went by, I was allowed to, you know, help with the volleyball coaching, joining them at their volleyball tournament, supervising different things that they did. And that was very rewarding for me because initially with my language level, my Japanese language level being so low, I kind of struggled in the early months. But I feel like sports was one of the ways that I managed to kind of get through to my kids, because, hey, we're playing basketball, we're playing football, we're playing volleyball. You know, as long as you understand the rules and how things go, it's very easy to communicate. So I find that even after just going on a tangent, I went to Hiroshima University. That was one of my focuses in my studies, to see how sports has helped to bridge gaps of communication. So yeah, so I had a kind of like an assistant coach role in the in the volleyball team, and yeah, it was just always so much fun to exchange, you know what I mean, to tell the kids about my childhood, teach them my childhood games, teach them how to make toys using recycled materials that I did as a child, and they would teach me things. And then, like, parents, again, being on a remote island, parents would run into you at the supermarket and be like, oh my God, my child didn't really like English or even going to school, but whenever there's English class or whatever, they'd be like, oh my God, I have to go to school today because I'm going to be able to enjoy myself. Yeah, and yeah, so at the exchange level as well, there would be like different festivals or events happening, and I'd also like manage a booth or participate in a booth and share things about my country and culture, and just be on hand, I guess, to interact and answer questions from the adults or community members who might see you around town or want to be like, hey, where are you from or what's going on? So I'd be like, I'd like to say, put on display whenever some kind of town-wide activity was happening, and I would be easily accessible, so to speak. And there'd be different events, like Christmas time they'd have a Christmas concert, and I'd read books to the kids generally at the main town library. And just being involved is very important with JET. Like, it's okay being like, what I say, a homebody, or, you know, being exhausted if you have to interact with many people, but, like, I feel it, as I said, it's expected of you to kind of participate and do things outside of just going to school and being a ALT. Even the CIRs and SEAs, as we've said, have to do more than just their desk job or their other jobs. The exchange is so vital and so rewarding as JET participants. So yeah, that was my experience on a remote island in Shimane. And yeah, it was probably one of the most rewarding jobs I had, that I just grew into more the more that I did it. And I had a fun time being on the JET program when I was. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like you got such a well-rounded, fulfilling experience. Yeah, tough in the beginning as you learn, but with the school being smaller, class sizes being smaller, your ability to really learn and get to know all of the students at, like, a closer level, like, not just knowing their names, but, like you said, knowing their quirks and what they like and don't like and how they learn, and being able to adapt to all of that, is just, it's a really nice experience, because I've you know, hear other ALTs at others in other areas, and they have to jump around. And this is, you know, something we didn't really talk about because our experience wasn't like that one.
Yeah.
But there are ALTs that, you know, they visit a different school every single day, or maybe even two different schools every single day, because their responsibility of their area of responsibility is so much larger that they don't get to really get to know the students and the teachers to the same degree that Kirk and I got to know our coworkers and students. So
just keep
that in mind, that we didn't really touch on that just because our experiences aren't there. But yeah, ALT's experience is vast and large.
Yeah, and even like high school, like neither of us have high school ALT JET program experience in Japan, and that can be different as well in terms of what is expected of you, because in high school, it's more serious. You know, they're studying to get into universities. They have, you know, tests and different projects they have to work on. So while we are skipping about with kindergartners and junior high schoolers, they are like hyper focused on their studies.
Yeah, exactly.
And so as the ALT, you're expected to help out more with AKEN stuff and, you know, studying for tests and university entrance exams and stuff. So yeah, there are different responsibilities depending on the level and different experiences depending on where you are placed. Are you in a big city like Tokyo or Osaka? You know, are you in a, what do you call it, like a engineering school? I know Jets who have been like in specialized schools where they are like teaching about fishing or engineering, and so your class would be a bit different from just a general school type setup. Are you in an all boys school? Are you in an all girls school? Are you in a boarding school? Like all of these variables change the type of experience. You know, are you in a private school? Are you in a public school? You know, like all of these things, as I said, changes things up. But yeah, I hope this kind of overview could be helpful or was helpful as we get into more JET related topics. If you have a friend who is also interested in participating on the JET program, please send them this episode. If you have any questions, please feel free to send us a voicemail at voicemail.bonbonshow.com or an email at hello@bonbonshow.com. And yeah, anything else you want to add before we close off episode 15 of the Bonbon Show era?
Yeah, just very eager. If there's anybody out there that has questions or just wants to talk JET, I've always loved talking JET. I'm not as active in our JET alumni now that I have my son and that keeps me busy, but I was very active as a JET alumni participant in my local area. So always promoting JET, always down to talk JET. So yeah, as Kirk said, if you know someone that's interested, even if they don't have the time to listen, if they want to just chat with somebody about the JET program, just send our email their way. Always love to chat about JET, reminiscing about old times and just letting people know what to expect and how to prepare. Thanks for listening and looking forward to the next few JET related episodes we have coming up for everyone.
Yeah, hopefully we can get some current JETs who are now participating in the JET program to kind of, maybe we can do interviews and stuff in the future, talk about the application process, preparing for the JET interview itself before you come to Japan and your first few weeks in Japan. There's so much. We could do 20, 30 episodes just on the JET program. So let's give us the idea of what you might be interested in, and we'll try to ensure that we touch on those areas in the future. Thank you so much for listening to episode 15 of the Bonbon Show. Take us out, Aaron.
Thanks, everyone. Mata ne.
Bye-bye.
Bye.